This episode of Cider Chat is possible due to the support of Ross-on-Y Cider & Perry Company, NMR Process Analytics, Insider Japan, and Ramborn Cider Company, who are all part of the Cider Going Up campaign at Cider Chat's Patreon page, and from listeners just like you who help keep this podcast on the air. Become a patron today by going to patreon.com/ciderchat. You'll find the links to Patreon and a donate button at ciderchat.com. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rio Wincaller and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This week is a very mini chat where I'm going to give you a little bit of overview of my experience at CiderCon 2020 held in Oakland, California last week, which was over the course of January 28th through January 31st. I'm going to be telling you a little bit more about that when I come right back. But first, let's take a pause and a little bongo drums to bring us into that. This week's episode 211 is going to be a mini chat, if you will, little snapshots of CiderCon. And I'm going to kind of bundle it up quickly so that I could start packing for my trip to France, because I came home from CiderCon and then I only have a week here and then I have to roll out to France and it's a little bit of a whirlwind. So I thought, what better moment in time than to give you my little bit of commentary on CiderCon 2020, which took place in Oakland, California. Obviously, this is a commercial conference, CiderCon. It's really a trade conference put on by the American Cider Association. But there were a number of cider enthusiasts in attendance, and there was also the Bay Area Cider Week taking place for the first time ever, and that covered both the San Francisco region and Oakland, California. But for myself, arriving in on January 25th, I actually was able to attend the first part of the Bay Area Cider Week, which was further south of the San Francisco Bay and really in the Monterey Bay area. And that took place at the Poets and Patriot Pub in Santa Cruz, which is a mouthful. Poets and Patriots Pub in Santa Cruz. I can't even do it anymore. That was put on by Tanuki Cider Company and also Santa Cruz Cider Company. They had a wassail set up there, and there was cider on tap, music playing. Prior to arriving at Poets and Patriot, I stopped on my way down from the San Francisco airport to check in at Cider Junction. And wouldn't you know it, on a Saturday night, there was a line at the door. And so this is a really important note for everyone, in case you're ever wondering, should I open up a cider bar? Well, these two gals, Tracy and Claudia, they have it going on there. I mean, it is a happening place. I sat at the bar. I was able to engage with two local patrons who are into beer, but are digging cider, digging the scene there at Cider Junction. It's a fantastic place to visit if you're flying into any of the main airports there, San Francisco or San Jose. So that was my first night into California. Cider Junction, Poets and Patriot Pub, wassail. And then it was kind of a little bit of family time. Let me take a little pause here and I'll be right back. The next 2 days in Santa Cruz, I prepared while visiting my family for the upcoming cider tour to Parajo Valley, which actually meant I was going to go up to Oakland and then with a busload of people head back to where my family lives to do the Parajo Valley tour, which was fine with me. I was stoked for it. And as such, and because I also take tours so seriously, I wanted to bring the tour a little bit more upscale to what the American Cider Association was offering. You know, we had a certain limit of time, a certain budget for food, and I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, go above and beyond the call of duty because cider tours are just so important to me, and I wanted the people on the bus to have a really special experience for a special spot of Ciderville that I so adore. So what I did was we went down to Watsonville to the new Santa Cruz Cider Company tasting room, where Natalie was at the tap, and she poured out some fresh-pressed Newtown Pippin juice. I had three growlers of that, which they were very kind to pass to me, and I brought that on the bus. So I'll talk more about that shortly. And then we also stopped at the Soquel Cider Company in Soquel, California, and that's owned by the Everett family, and the cider maker there is Laura Everett. Both of these cideries I've had on the podcast, so you should check that out. Go to some past episodes. Just Google Soquel Cider Company Cider Chat and Santa Cruz Cider Company Cider Chat, and you'll find those episodes. Anyways, so I go to Soquel Cider Company, and it was closed down, but I kind of had the secret password to get in. Got in, and was so stoked to be able to grab some cider from Laura Everett. She set us up with some of her Laura's Orchard, heirloom variety bottles. And I had those to then be able to bring on the cider tour too, which is what I did. So Mom and I, we drove around the area. I got to visit with her. I got to stock up on some extra special treats for the guests on my tour. And I just kind of just dug the scene. So you'll see, if you look to the show notes of this, you'll see me kind of digging the scene in the gangster lean, looking out at the Pacific Ocean, because when you're there in that area, the Pacific's right there, and there's just nothing better for the heart than to look at the sun setting down into the ocean when the beach gets totally quiet. Like, there's a lot of activity. You probably have experienced this yourself. I hope you have, seeing a sunset with people that you don't know who all are gathering to the same spot. And then at that moment when the sun's dropping, in this case, into the ocean, there's like a stillness on the beach. Even the dogs stop yapping who are running around for balls, and the kids kind of peer out, because there's nothing more majestic and brings you more into the reality of where we are situated into the universe than seeing the sunset. And I did that. I was able to hang out with my cousin Jay and his partner Nancy, and Jay and I are the two who you always hear singing the We Like Cider song, and that was a pretty special moment for me.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
It was time to leave Santa Cruz and jump full steam ahead into a CiderCon. So up to Oakland, I zoomed, checking into the hotel conference center and preparing for the Parajo Valley Cider Tour the very next day.
You gotta grab that luche. You gotta bust that thing. Get your kicks on the street. Gotta kick back, step back. Oh, you gots to skeet. It's a rat-a-tat-a, 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 bala. Rat-a-tat-a, 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 holla.
Now, there are cider tours, and then there are cider tours. And I just want to say, I am on the and then there are cider tour spectrum, in that I just love hanging out with a group of fun-loving people. And they might not know when they get on that bus that they are fun-loving people, but by the end of that bus ride, we are one heck of a group, if not a team, of fun-loving folk.
I don't wanna be pushed like a doodle push when it comes to the cheddar.
There is nothing I love more than having a good conversation and an awesome time, typically outside of buildings and out in the country with like-minded people. I mean, that's the reason why I started doing Totally Cider Tours, both nationally and internationally. And why, when I had the opportunity to lead the Parajo Valley Tour, I jumped at the chance. Not only because I just love that region, but given the opportunity to be with a group of people and bring them through the experience, well, I have to say, that's one of my expertises that I've been doing for a while, and I just super dig it. And this group was perfect candidates for. So a little bit before 9 a.m. in the morning, we cracked open those jugs of Newtown Pippin to really set people's palates for the rest of the day, knowing that all the ciders that we're going to be having from that point on would either be a single varietal Newtown Pippin, maybe aged at different levels or from different trees, much like we experienced with Ryder Ranch and Eric Ryder, and also that many of the ciders would have a predominant apple profile of Newtown Pippin. And believe me, it helps me set my palate, so I can only imagine all the folks on the tour how it helped them too. Soon after, we tried the sweet cider, as I might call it, or apple juice. Again, this is unfermented. We then rolled into opening up the bottles of the SoCal Cider Company's Laura's Orchard. And this is Heirloom Orchards. If you recall my conversation with Laura Everett, they have two orchards there, his and her. Rich Everett has his kind of classic culinary apples, and Laura is really the cider maker. She comes from the winemaking tradition, and she is the one really cranking out those ciders. They're really quality ciders. And so she has an heirloom orchard, and that's what those ciders were from. So we passed that around, started swinging out, taking a right, might say hanging 10 towards the surfside of Ciderville, and rolling through San Jose and up over the Santa Cruz Mountains. Now, the bus driver wasn't going to go that way initially, but I knew that particular ride, as windy as it would be, would take us past some amazing coastal redwood trees and giant sequoias. So that's how we hung over the mountains. Once I convinced him that the other way might be a little bit longer or not as scenic, well, he was willing to go that way, and I think we were all the better for it. So we went over the mountain that is so well known for so many commuters heading into San Jose every day, and then swung down south to Serenvente Ranch, where we met up with our first cider makers of the day, both Aaron and Peter Serenvente, and rolled in with our giant bus.
Wanna be gank like the dude, the gank, and when it comes to the cake, beat me, you think,
That little bit of time that we had at Serenvente Ranch was really special for me because it was a beginning point of being able to meet the people that were actually on the bus instead of like kind of crawling my way up the back row in the bus as it's rolling down the highway. Not my most favorite thing to do. So that was like the beginning point. We had a lovely time there. Lots of amazing ciders. I saw a really big difference just from being there in April with the Totally Cider Tour group, and now so many months, almost like a year later, how much the ciders have developed. From there, we then rolled down to Five Mile Orchard and met up with Jake Mann and Eric Ryder. And Eric, again, super delivered by pouring us three different Newtown Pippin varietal ciders. He's very low on his inventory. He's going through some changes in his scene there. So he kind of needed this booster. He's kind of actually taking a little bit of time off from his full-time job. Luckily, he has a very supportive boss and was able to just do an amazing pouring of ciders. And thank you, Eric, so much for gifting me with some of those ciders to bring back to my spot of Ciderville. We had one half of the group hanging with Eric, the other half hanging with Jake, and they got to walk around the Five Mile Orchard and listen to one of the premier orchardists in the country. You know, Jake comes from a long lineage of being out in those apple trees. It's on his mind. It's what he eats, sleeps, and drinks for the most part is orcharding and apple care. That was just, what can I say about that? Another fun time, kind of taking it slow. And then from there, we started heading out, and the bus driver was turning in the wrong direction. And I asked him, where are you going, dude? And he had the wrong address for the location. He was actually taking us to the tasting room, or I should say the new tasting room that Santa Cruz Cider Company has down in Watsonville. Luckily, I knew differently and said, we got to turn around straight away and head to the north, to the Apple Barn, which is what we did. We pulled up to the location where I knew we were to meet both Tanuki Cider Company and Santa Cruz Cider Company. The bus driver backed down as much as he could into this very narrow passageway, and everybody got out, had to make our way through the apple trees because the bus couldn't go any further without scratching it all up, and then had a humdinger of a time at the Apple Barn. We had lunch there, had a bunch of wonderful Thai food that goes so well with cider. They had outdoor fires, picnic tables, and one half the group was walking out and just getting to experience what it's like to have apple trees right next to giant redwoods and that beautiful sequoia tree that I was able to take a group photo of everybody on the bus. It's like my cherished photo of everyone, including all the makers and the actual owners of the property there. A very special time, and it was a long enough time for us to kind of really drop into the setting, and that was quite impressive. From there, then we headed over to San Jose to stop at Cider Junction. Cider Junction, they had all the tables set up with play settings and little charcuterie and cheeses, and we had a number of different pourings, and we also had Henley Cider there to talk to us about their pear cider. They come from California. They're up in pear country. They have about 150 acres of pears. These are primarily dual-purpose pears, so they're culinary, and they're making pear cider with it, and it is pretty tasty. I was really excited about that, and such a special time, and the two proprietors, or I should say the two publicans, Tracy and Claudia, they really talked to me later at CiderCon up in Oakland on how attentive the group was. Like, you could hear a pin drop in the room as they were talking and explaining everything. And that was after a long day of doing the cider experience, drinking and all that. It just showed me what kind of group I was with. From there, it was time to head home and say goodbye until the next day, where CiderCon was going to really start in full force. And so I just want to take this time to just thank all the folks on the bus, because it was pretty amazing, and just let you know how far reaching the attendees were there. We had folks from Far From the Tree. That is a Massachusetts-based cidery, Botanist and Barrel, North Carolina. We had Amy, who was representing Philly Cider Week, Wild State Cider from Minnesota, Maniac Cider. We had two folks there from Maine, two folks from James Creek Cider House, and none other than Anne Marie and David Thornton, Farmhouse Cider based in Michigan, and we had two folks from Kansas from the Lewisburg Cider Mill. Hey, go Kansas, that winning with the Chiefs. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Little joke there. Sorry, little political joke. Yes, Kansas City Chiefs are not from Kansas. Look it up if you don't know where the Chiefs are. And congratulations on the Super Bowl win. It's all good. Anyways, Phillips Orchard and Cider Mill from Michigan. Vegas Valley Winery from Nevada. Dulth Cider from Minnesota. Riley's Cider from Southern California, and then Christoph from Switzerland, representing from Switzerland. Actually, Christoph pulled out a little bottle of the brandy that they make there in Switzerland. Oh, man, that blew my socks off. That was fun. Thank you very much. Number of people from Canada. One of the cideries there was from British Columbia, and that was the BX Press Cidery. Then Nabi Gnome Cidery. Dave and your partner there, you're both there, but I don't really know where Nabi Gnome Cidery is, so do let me know. Maybe it's a cidery in the works, I'm not sure. But I do like your artwork, and I love the name. Also, two folks, a couple from Sycamore Ranch Vineyard and Winery. That's in Southern Cal, I would say, for the most part. Ethan from Vance Metal Fabricators, based in New York. Verger's Bellevere Orchard, based in Canada. Ross Orchards, not to be confused with Ross on Y Cider Company. Ross Orchard had two folks representing, and they are based in Montana, Big Sky Country. Also, Ian from Farmstead Cider. I met up with Ian early in the morning as I was catching the flight back, and it was nice to see such a friendly face, such a nice guy. Ian Cidery, they're based in Wyoming. Another Ian from Calico Cidery, doing some crazy-ass wild ferment, spontaneous stuff with both cider and pears. That was delicious. James, who's working on a new potential future cidery called Hell Branch. Capitol Reef Cider Works in Utah. Doc Waters Cidery in Maryland. Wheel Line Cider in Washington. Hang on, I'm going to turn the page. This is how many people there, you know, from all over the map, right? I love it. Cross Mountain Cider Company in Canada. El Gatero from Asturias. That was very nice seeing, having some Asturians on my tour. We had two gals from Japan, Mami and Madoka. And Madoka owns a hostel there, and she is offering now cider. So they're in the U.S. checking that out. That just shows you like the growth, right? Crazy. Victoria Cider Company from BC or British Columbia, Canada. Blake's Hard Cider Company from Michigan. Sitting across from me on the bus was two folks from Dan Kelly's Cider Company from Ireland. I really got to know Fiona. She was a hoot, really kind woman. Gave me a nice sample pack of the Dan Kelly cider, which I'm excited to dig into and just sit back and, you know, not be drinking it really quickly with a million different ciders. I get to like mull over it. So thank you so much for that. Victoria Cider Company from Canada and Island Orchard Cider LLC from Wisconsin. Then we had two extra people, Brian Yeager, who is like a beer writer now writing about cider, and Susanna Forbes of Little Pomona. She was also our media person. And I just want to say, Susanna, I had to like, you know, she was often like the last person on the bus. And I had to like chase her around out of the cider house each time to get a move in and get back on the bus. Yes, Susanna Forbes, you are a troublemaker and I love you for that. So on our way back to Oakland, it was kind of like, you know, a little bit of traffic and we're making our way back, probably arrive back at 6:30, the last tour to arrive back to CiderCon. What can I say? Hey, that's what happens when you're having fun. We know no time limits and I think everybody was pretty satiated. And we also had the opportunity to sing a little song. So I'm going to roll out to that. And then when I come back, I'm going to just tell you a little bit more about my experience during CiderCon before I head out.
There's a reason why we do it like this. There's a reason why we do it like this. There's a reason why we drink it like this. There's a reason why we do it like this.
From all accounts, it was a very well-attended CiderCon. Again, they had like over 1,000 people in attendance. It was at a different kind of hotel that, I don't know, I think it was a little bit of a trouble there, to be quite honest, with the hotel in a way and the conference center. Like, they didn't have their groove down. Even working with the sound people, they weren't to the same caliber that I'm used to working with at a conference center. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. It was different in that way. The bar scene was a lot quieter at night, or maybe I just wasn't staying up late enough, but they're actually closing the bar at like 12 o'clock, which is early for a bunch of people in cider. It really is. For me, I was laying low because I am heading to France in just a few days, in less than a week's time. I'll be in France going to another huge cider scene, and you have to pace yourself in this industry, which was one of the themes that I thought was really neat at CiderCon. They had some very special workshops, one on diversity and also drinking too much. You know, when you're in this industry, drinking too much and mental health. So key topics that sometimes we don't talk about, but which are so important for having the staying power in this profession. I really appreciated that. I did a lot of recordings. I won't tell you all the recordings that I'm doing that because some are going to go out to the association for their own needs, and then the rest I'll be probably rolling out to Patreon. Another important piece for me was all the folks that came up and thanked me for the podcast and really appreciate the work of this podcast, and all the people that were on the cider tour who came up afterwards and reintroduced yourselves and tell me where you were from. And knowing that I was kind of full in on leading the tour, that sometimes it's hard for me to remember it all. So I really appreciate that. It was a little overwhelming for me at times to take it in on how gracious people were to me, thanking me. And I'd like to say, if you now all become patrons of Cider Chat, it's kind of like leaving a tip for your guide out and about in Ciderville. That would make a huge difference. If every single person that came up to me who thanked me for Cider Chat, dang, if you just, you know, did a little bit of a donation per month, that would make a really big difference. Let's see. Some other key pieces I want to mention was that on Friday afternoon, there was a terroir spotlight for Western Massachusetts, which is my spot of Ciderville, and that was a really moving time for me. I got a little teary-eyed because whenever I'm talking about Terry Maloney, who's really like the spearhead, the Maloney's West County Cider in Coleraine, Massachusetts, spearheaded cider in 1984. A lot of people don't know that history. And the fact that we lost Terry at such a pivotal time in 2010 during an industrial accident while making cider, and the fact that he can't see his work, it just, it's hard for me. You know, it's sad because I know a lot of people don't know that history. And I think as cider moves forward, it's cool to look forward to different trends and to be kicking it around. But if you don't look back at the history of it, and even further back to our European neighbors who really set so many traditions and respect those traditions and move it forward, I think we're losing something there. So anyways, that's a long way to say I got kind of emotional during the terroir spotlight as a moderator. But the producers there, which was Artifact Cider, Ragged Hill Cider, Bear Swamp Cider, and West County Cider, they really held the boat, and I was stoked about that. The actual CiderCon itself started off on Thursday morning with a little message from Paul Vanderhyde, which I thought was very interesting, and this is something you can mull over. He put up a video, and I think he kind of said, I'm not sure how this is going to fly, but he wanted to make a certain point. It was a video of two, like, gazelles or deer fighting each other. And while they were fighting, along comes a lion and kills them both. And I believe his message there was, you know, enough about the infighting about what cider is or isn't. While we're doing that, other markets are coming in and taking our position in the market. I believe that's what he was saying there. It was kind of an intense way to start CiderCon. this is what we're doing and we're doing fantastic. It was like kind of a shot in the arm, and maybe that's what needs to happen. I mean, I'm not on the board. I'm not kind of looking at that piece there. I kind of have this more worldwide cider view. So that was rather poignant, and kind of curious what other folks thought about that who were there. And then the other cool thing for me that was really neat is that the American Cider Association licensed the We Like Cider song for that weekend at the conference. And it played a number of times during the grand ballroom sessions. And if you saw that video up on the screen with a song playing and a number of slides of people from around the world, that was the We Like Cider song. And if you weren't there, don't worry. And if you missed it while you're at CiderCon, no worries, because it's going to be released to YouTube. So just go to the Cider Chat YouTube channel and take a look at that song, the full song of We Like Cider. And who knows, you might be on that slideshow too. So that was really neat. The Talking Palms and I had a lot of fun knowing that that was kind of like a debut of the We Like Cider song at Oakland. And in general, I want to say, you know, all these kind of like little things are minor compared to the bigger picture, which was the amount of spirited conversation. The quality of the cider, in my mind, is going up. I was more impressed more often than not on the ciders I was having, and wasn't kind of saying, oh, damn, you know, it's just, this is just modern cider kind of at its worst. I wasn't experiencing that. I was seeing a lot of foraging, a lot of hard work, a lot of intention, not necessarily people wanting to go super big, but just making damn good cider. And that, my friends, is what it's all about. All right, Ciderville, I hope you enjoyed the recap of CiderCon 2020 as much as I had in retelling it. It's just a lot of flood of memories coming, and if you don't talk about it, well, in one ear and not the other. And at the same time, I also just had a PDF come in from France with the program for Cider Expo taking place the 13th, 14th, and 15th, which will be just a week from now. And they're going to have two professional days. And then on the third day, it is open to the public. And they're going to have all these booths with all these cider makers. And I am just salivating looking at it. So I have to start digging into that, get prepared. It's going to be a number of days, if not weeks, for me over in France. So if you're trying to get a hold of me, you know where you can find me. Follow me along on Twitter at Cider Chat, on Instagram at Cider Chat Ciderville, and the Facebook page Cider Chat, and at the YouTube channel for Cider Chat too. I'll be releasing as I can. And if you have any questions for distilling cider into brandy, send them my way, because I'll be hanging out with Marie, who is the distiller for Domaine DuPont, and of course Etienne DuPont too, who is my host during Cider Expo. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, what kind of questions to ask them. I don't know really too much about distilling itself, but I'm very interested on that particular trade and have a deep fondness for spirits. There's no doubt about that. All right, so I'm doing that. And then the last thing I want to say before saying adios for now, and that is, did I mention already? But UK Cider Tour, that will be taking place on September 1st, going through Labor Day weekend and finishing on that Sunday of Labor Day weekend, which is the 6th of September, and that allows you to kind of fly home if you need to on the 7th or stay longer in the UK and keep on enjoying your time there. It's going to be a fantastic tour. I got the final kind of details. A number of people while I was at CiderCon said, hey, sign me up. So I have their names. It's not going to be a huge group of people, but it's going to be one heck of a tour. And if this here episode doesn't give you an idea of what a cider tour with Rhea is all about, I don't know what can, other than just coming along with me, and we're just going to have one heck of a time. Yeah. So I'll be talking about that as I go forward, but please send me an email now, rhea@ciderchat.com, if this is something you want to be part of and be the first to know as I roll it out and release that probably by the end of February, if not sooner. This is a wrap for episode 211, and this is Rhea Windcaller, looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Cider, we like palms, we love orchards and having fun. There is a reason,
there is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is. There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There's a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!